RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz.
Hello listeners, welcome back to our English program over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by press review, today in history, focus, headline news, and news in brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. To conclude our program for today, we'll present to you our daily segment, Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana Fuss, the headlines. Indonesia offers lower import tax on Japanese cars in reciprocal deal. Indonesia to propose 6 projects to AIIB for financing. Now the news in detail. The government of Indonesia is looking into the possibility of reducing import duties on Japanese produced car. That should be the East Asian country be willing to do the same thing for Indonesian agriculture and fishery products. This was stated by Trade Minister Director General for International Trade and Cooperation, Bahrul Hairi. He says that the government can lower its import duties on Japanese CPU cars to 5% this year if Japan carries out reciprocal measure for Indonesian commodities. Bahrul added that a number of Indonesian products like bananas and tunas are still subject to high tariffs or prohibited from entering Japanese markets. Under the Indonesian-Japan Economic Partnership Agreement, which went into effect in 2008, Japan listed rice, wheat, meat, pineapples, bananas, and starch, among other as sensitive products. Indonesia is currently imposing a 28.1% import tax on Japanese cars with engine capacities of between 1,500cc and 3,000cc. Indonesia will propose 6 infrastructure projects for financing to the Asian Infrastructure Investment Bank, AIIB, as a China-backed multilateral institution is going to officially launch operation next week. Finance Minister Bambang Brojonegoro said that the projects to be proposed will focus on several sectors, namely energy, roads, and drinking water. The AIIB is a new multilateral institution comprising 57 member countries, 37 of which are from Asia. It was formally established in November 2014 when 22 Asian countries gathered in Beijing, China to sign a memorandum of understanding on the bank. Minister Baba did not disclose the amount of loans that Indonesia plans to borrow, saying that some of the project would be funded using a co-financing scheme with other multilateral institutions. He insisted that the membership within the AIIB is key for Indonesia to expand financing options for its various infrastructure projects. Coordinating Minister for Political, Legal and Security Affairs Luhut Panjaitan said on Friday that the weapons used in the attack at Jalan MH Tamrin, Central Jakarta on Tuesday were supplied from Mindanao, the Philippines. But Minister Luhut said that the police have discovered the explosives used in the attacks were assembled in Jakarta. The government confirmed that the situation following the attacks is currently under control. Minister Luhut reminded people to be aware and careful of future threats and promised that the police will keep pursuing and investigating terrorist groups that have not been caught. President Joko Widodo has signed Transportation Ministry to develop Kertajati International Airport in Majalengka, West Java to expedite the infrastructure project which has stalled for a decade under provincial administration. He said in a statement made available by the presidential communication team, his side has set a target to finish developing the airport by next year. The airport, which is expected to handle 5.6 million passengers a year, is intended to serve as an alternative to lighten the burden of Usen Sastranegara International Airport in Bandung, as well as Soekarno-Hatta International Airport in Jakarta. The West Java administration set aside only 500 billion rupiah, or around $35.8 million, for the development this year, while the estimated amount needed for the project overall construction reaches 2.5 trillion rupiah. The gap will be met by the Transportation Ministry using its allocated budget. Previously, the Transportation Ministry, in charge of developing the airport's infrastructure, has only spent a total 375 billion rupiah to date on building the runway out of a 1 trillion rupiah investment required for the air infrastructure. This news is coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Two state companies, PTP and Sepen and Kimia Pharma, are expected to raise 3 trillion rupiah, or around $215.67 million, from the stock market this year through an initial public offering IPO and a right issue, details of which are still being discussed by a government committee. State-owned Enterprise Minister Deputy for Restructuring and Planning, Aloysius Rose, said the two companies was Plantation Company PT Perkebunan Negara Sepen, PTPN, and Pharmaceutical Fund PT Kimia Pharma, and six other companies are currently being assessed by the Government Privatization Committee. He said the site will definitely see PTPN go public this year. As for Kimia Pharma, which is already listed on the Indonesian Stock Exchange, IDX, Aloysius said that the drug maker had made a request for right issue. He also said that the proposals are currently being discussed by the Government Privatization Committee, which includes representatives from the state-owned Enterprise Ministry, the Finance Ministry, and the Office of the Coordinating Economic Ministry. There had been no tourist cancellation to Yogyakarta post terror attack in central Jakarta. Secretary of Indonesian Hotel and Restaurant Association for Yogyakarta, Dedi Pranowo Eryono, said on Friday, as quoted by Jakarta Post, that the impact of the attack was not significant because Jakarta was not the main entry gate for foreign tourists who usually visited Bali prior to exploring other destinations throughout Indonesia. He added that visitors from Europe, Japan, and Australia keep coming to Indonesia throughout January, a month that is usually less crowded season for foreign tourists compared with October and November. Separately, Garuda Japa Tour and Travel owner Eddie Prabowo said his company expected to serve some 300 Japanese tourists eager to explore Yogyakarta in January. Yogyakarta Tourist Agency head Aris Riyadna confirmed that no cancellation had been made by travel agents catering to foreigners as of Friday afternoon. The last item, the government has released a new regulation that will provide tax incentive for first-time home buyers to spur growth in the domestic property sector. This was stated by Director of Counseling Service and Public Relations at the Finance Minister Tax Director General, Mekar Satria Utama. As quoted by Jakarta Globe, Mekar Satria Utama said that the regulation will allow Indonesians with a maximum income 7 million or around $503.41 a month to enjoy a subsidized lending rate in purchasing their first home under a scheme called FLPP. The scheme was previously only available to those earning up to 4.5 million rupiah a month. The finance minister hopes that the lower monthly installments will encourage more middle-class families to buy their own homes and in turn help boost the property sector. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, with press review. A variety of important events that occurred this week are summarized in the press review compiled from various newspapers published in Jakarta. Let's begin with Kompas newspaper. In an editorial on Friday, January the 15th, the paper wrote, "Terror and Maintaining Vigilance." Acts of terror in Jakarta, which ruined the safe atmosphere in the beginning of 2016, signaled the danger of terrorism remains a serious threat. Various circles appreciated the security forces who acted quickly to overcome the terrorists who opened fire and threw some bombs and grenades, including with the suicide method. The identity of the perpetrators' attacks and the mastermind are expected to be revealed clearly to avoid speculation. The terrorists had exchanged fire with police officers in Tamrin region. The attack on Thursday not only caused direct victims, 7 people were reportedly killed, including 5 terrorists, but also created an atmosphere of horror and fear, which are the main objectives of the terror. It is appropriate that the president, Vice President and security forces called on people not to fear and panic. The terrorists will increasingly bold and aggressive if public feel fear and panic. According to Compass, the terrorist attack is always sudden and tend not picking targets. For that reason, anticipation and alertness are instrumental and necessary from time to time. Turning to the Republican newspaper, in an editorial on Friday, it writes, "Don't lose and don't be afraid. Some people try to spread a terror in the capital city. However, attempts to put fear on people failed. Within about 4 hours, the security forces successfully brought the situation to normal. Indonesian people have stated that they are not afraid and not to be outdone by any acts of terrorism. A total of 7 people were killed and 19 others wounded in a bloody attack on Thursday morning. Police said 5 of the dead were allegedly the perpetrators. Apart from the Sarinah region, the situation in Jakarta is relatively normal. The capital market was a little affected. The exchange rate and composite stock price index had weakened. However, the government believes this is only temporary. President Joko Widodo asked the public to remain calm in facing the terror. The president urged people not to be afraid. The state must not lose to terror. The same thing was stated by Vice President Yusuf Kalla and other national figures. All parties denounced and rejected all forms of violence, especially terrorism. Republika hopes the authorities can investigate this case thoroughly. This daily also called on people to face terror together. The daily also said Indonesian people will not lose and will never be afraid. To conclude press review, here is Media Indonesia newspaper, which in an editorial on Thursday wrote, "Never draw back in investigating Setia Novanto." One thing that this nation is always plagued with is the crisis of exemplary actions among leaders and elites of the country. Such action can only be seen in a small part of the problems of the elites, which lately often happened in the country. The absence of former House Speaker Setia Novanto from the summon of the Attorney General related to the alleged evil on conspiration on demand for PT Freeport shares on Wednesday again presents evidence that exemplary actions are indeed almost vanished. That was press review over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello listener, meet again with me Steve in our regular Today in History over at RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. We start from an event on January 16, 1919, when the anti-alcohol law was applied in the United States. On January 16, 1999, the 18th Amendment on US Constitution was officially applied. The 18th Amendment consists of prohibition of alcohol production, sale or distribution in the United States. The movement to prohibit alcohol sales in the country began in the early 19th century, when the US citizens saw that alcohol brought negative influence in the society. In the end of 19th century, anti-alcohol group successfully gained strong position in politics, strengthening their position. Then, in 1917, the US Congress ratified the 18th Amendment. However, the US government was still powerless in fighting against alcohol distribution in the country. Even in 1933, the 21st Amendment that revoked the ban on alcohol production and sales was ratified. Listener, the next event is on January 16, 1970, when Muammar Gaddafi became the Libyan Prime Minister after staging a coup against King Idris I of Libya. When the people of Arab was defeated by Israel in the Six-Day War, Muammar Abu Minyar al-Gaddafi, or Muammar Gaddafi, who was still 27 years old at that time, and a colonel in the military, was uneasy to see the King Idris I of Libya, who did nothing towards the defeat. An opportunity came in September 1969, when King Idris was ill and planned to hand over the reign to his nephew. However, one day before the ceremony, when King Idris was still abroad, Gaddafi led the Revolution Command Council of Libya that would save the country from the power vacuum. Gaddafi's troops arrested the military chief of staff who was very loyal to King Idris. After successfully staging a bloodless coup, Gaddafi disbanded the Kingdom of Libya and created the Great Socialist People's Libyan Arab Jamahiriya and changed its national flag. Gaddafi did not declare himself as the king or president, but as the brotherly leader and the guide of revolution. On January 16, 1970, he inaugurated himself as the prime minister until 1972. Then, he declared himself as the sole ruler of Libya until his downfall in October 2011. Well, listener, we end today in history with an event on January 16, 1991. Operation Desert Storm was announced by the US government after the Gulf War that caused invasion of Iraq to quiet in August 1990. The United Nations dropped the economic embargo to Iraq, while Kuwait asked aid from the United States to help liberating its country. The United Nations diplomatic mission was conducted to end the invasion of Iraq to Kuwait, but the demand of the United Nations for Iraq to withdraw their troops from Kuwait was rejected by Saddam Hussein's regime. Finally, US President George W. Bush was permitted to declare war by the US Congress on January 12, 1991, and was followed by the Operation Desert Storm on January 16, 1991. One day after the operation announcement, the initial attack began on January 17, 1991, at 3 a.m. Baghdad time, with a massive air attack over Baghdad and several other regions of Iraq. On February 27, 1991, the coalition troops successfully liberated Kuwait, and President Bush declared the end of the war. Well, listener, that was today in history.
Today in history, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, with Focus. Today's edition is on President Joko Widodo launches the first family planning village in Cirebon. A fisherman residential area in Merta Singa Village, Gunung Jati Subdistrict, Cirebon, West Java, on Thursday, January the 14th, was inaugurated by President Joko Widodo as the nationally first birth control or family planning kampung or village. Kampung KB is a government program that began this year by targeting poor neighborhoods. Family planning programs include two children's birth control, family security program, and family welfare program. The goal is to educate people for more prosperous future. They are educated in healthy living and doing activities that support economic welfare. The launching of Merta Singa as a family planning village is meant so that people in poor neighborhoods join family planning programs for the welfare of the people. In his speech, President Joko Widodo expressed his desire to create a strong and prosperous country through the improvement of family quality. Therefore, family planning is considered needed to win the global competition. The president stressed a limited number of children, in this case two, became one of starting point of the creation of quality family. The president assured fewer children will allow parents to give more attention and education to the kids. Quality family, he said, is created from meeting the needs of each of its members adequately. Meanwhile, Coordinating Minister for Human Development and Culture, Puan Maharani, who accompanied the president on the occasion, said the Family Planning Village program started in Merta Singa. In the future, the government will look for other places with poor families whose livelihoods are not fixed with many children throughout Indonesia. At the same place, head of the National Family Planning Coordinating Agency, Surya Chandra Surapati, revealed that Cirebon was chosen as the first area in view that West Java is the province with the largest population in Indonesia. Early marriage becoming one of the cases that are still prevalent, especially in West Java. Well, that was Focus today on President Joko Widodo launches first family planning village in Cirebon.
Here news in brief, read by Rahmana. The government of Indonesia is looking into the possibility of reducing import duties on Japanese-produced cars. That should be the East Asian country be willing to do the same thing for Indonesian agriculture and fishery products. This was stated by Trade Minister Director General for International Trade and Cooperation, Bahrul Khairi. Indonesia will propose 6 infrastructure projects for financing to the Asian Infrastructure Investment Bank, AIIB, as the China-backed multilateral institution is going to officially launch operation next week. Coordinating Minister for Political, Legal and Security Affairs Luhut Panjaitan said on Friday that the weapons used in the attacks at Jalan MH Tamrin, Central Jakarta on Tuesday were supplied from Mindanao, the Philippines. President Joko Widodo has assigned Transportation Ministry to develop Kertajati International Airport in Majalengka, West Java, to expedite the infrastructure project which has stalled for a decade under the provincial administration. Two state companies, PTP and Seven and Kimia Partner, are expecting to raise 3 trillion rupiah or around $215.67 million from the stock market this year through an initial public offering IPO and a rights issue, details of which are still being discussed by a government committee. There have been no tourist cancellation to Yogyakarta post-terror attack in Central Jakarta. Secretary of Indonesian Hotel and Restaurant Association for Yogyakarta, Dedi Pranowo Eriono, said on Friday, as quoted by Jakarta Post, that the impact of the attack was not significant because Jakarta was not the main entry gate for foreign tourists who usually visited Bali prior to exploring other destinations throughout Indonesia. The government has released a new regulation that will provide tax incentives for first-time home buyers to spur growth in the domestic property sector. This was stated by Director of Counseling Service and Population at the Finance Ministry Tax Directorate General Mekar Satria Utama. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You still tuned to Voice of Indonesia broadcasting daily from Jakarta on the frequency of 95.25 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Listeners, here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, it is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's Citizen, we'll invite you to have a look at Payangan Beach in Jember, East Java Province. Stay tuned. Listeners, going to beach is one way chosen by the people to relax. If you are in Jember, East Java Province, please set your time to go around enjoying the beauty of Payangan Beach. Payangan Beach is located at Ambulu Sub-District Jember. This beach is quite unique because there are three hills and an island, which makes this beach more beautiful. Listeners, at Payangan Beach, not only you can play water or enjoy the beach scenery, but also witness fishermen's activities, such as fishing nets or boats and also catching fish. At Payangan Beach, you can also closely see chow to make shrimp paste in tradition way. At the right of Payangan Beach, there are quite wide savanna. At this area, you can set a tent to stay at night if you come to Payangan Beach in Muharram month. According to Islamic calendar, you can will see fishermen holding petik laut ceremony or sea picking ceremony, which is usually followed by puppet shadow performance. Listeners, to go Payangan Beach, you can pass through Jember City to Ambulu. After arriving at Ambulu Junction, you can go to the South Watu Ulo. From here, you can just follow the road until Payangan Beach. When arriving at the beach, you will be amazed to see the three beaches. Namely, the beach at the north has curved coastline with the black sand. Then the beach in the middle has beautiful stones. And at the beach at the south, there is savanna and parking space for fishermen's boats. Listeners, if you want to visit Payangan Beach, you do not have to worry because at the beach there are facilities such as restroom, parking space, camping ground and stalls. Payangan Beach can be accessed by using motorcycle and private vehicle. Payangan Beach can be accessed by using motorcycle and private vehicle. You can also rent a motorcycle because there is no public transportation to Payangan Beach. Listeners, that was Indonesian Wonder for today. We meet again tomorrow with another topic. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with Miscellany, a regular segment featuring various aspects of Indonesia, including art and culture, customs and tradition, technology and environment, even lifestyle. Today's edition will be discussing pencak silat philosophy. Besides via shortwave, you can also listen to this program through www.voi.co.id. Talking about pencak silat, many people will remember some Indonesian action movies. Pencak silat actually is Indonesian indigenous martial arts, which is full of philosophy even in every movement. One thing to keep in mind is that this martial arts is not meant to hurt or destroy others, but purely for self-defense. Pencak silat is Indonesia's cultural heritage which has already grown and developed in foreign countries. Although history cannot exactly indicate when the birth of pencak silat was, but the martial arts has been in Indonesia since the beginning of civilization. Since prehistoric times, simple martial arts has been known to defend oneself against the harsh nature. However, today's pencak silat martial arts, though is known as an original Indonesian culture, yet it is also believed to have its stems from the Malay. Pencak silat has grown in Indonesian archipelago since the 7th century. In the era of kingdoms, martial arts developed as a powerful tool, both to defend the kingdom or to attack opponents. Between 1019 to 1041, the term pencak silat began to emerge in Kahuripan Kingdom under the name Ehohik. During colonial time, pencak silat had a big role in the country's struggle for independence. This martial arts is widely known in Indonesia, Malaysia, Brunei Darussalam and Singapore, South Philippines and South Thailand. Later, pencak silat is considered as one of Indonesia's national identities. It does not emphasize on self-defense techniques only, but it also has philosophical meaning with various aspects of society such as spiritual and moral values, art movement, martial arts, and others. According to famous pencak silat martial arts actor Yayan Ruhyat, its movement has its own philosophy. The ready position in the martial arts, for instance, is rarely with clenched hands position, but always with open arms. It means that martial arts is not for fighting or hurting people, but really for self-defense. In essence, if we learn in depth to the core, any kind of martial arts, including pencak silat, is essentially the approach to God Almighty. In addition, martial arts also teaches the way of life among humans and creating peace, besides teaching the science of inner spirituality and soul that make one become calm. Well, that was Miscellany Today, which informed you about the philosophy of pencak silat martial arts. I'm Anna Pujayakasi.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listeners of RRA World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back with me, Mariati, in Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian original music, either traditional or modern ones. In addition to shortwave 95 to 5 kHz, you can also listen to this program through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id or through RRR Play and RRI World Service mobile application on your smartphones. In today's edition, I will introduce you to Isyana Saraswati, a singer and songwriter who was born in Bandung, West Java, on 2 May 1993, graduated from Nanyang Academy of Fine Arts, Singapore, and Royal College of Music, Britain. In December 2014, Isyana released her first single entitled Keep Being You. Listeners, let's listen to a song entitled Keep Being You, sung by Isyana Saraswati.
Yes, you. Maybe we could be together, and nothing but your love forever. I can be your lover, you can be my lover. I won't need nobody but you. Just the way that you move shows me what you can do. I don't need you to prove, 'cause I'cause which way you're near me, there is no emptiness. It's special love and I can feel it deep in my soul. I see you've given me much more. Thank you for the greatest gift of all. Just the way that you
Listeners, you have just listened to a song entitled Keep Being You from Isyana Sarasvati. When singing a contract with Sony Music Indonesia, they agreed that Isyana would be the singer and also the producer. It aims to make her able to create music suitable with her desire and feeling. In 2014, when she was in Sweden, she was successful to write 14 songs for 15 days. Unfortunately, a year later, she finished her work. And finally, on 25th November 2015, Isyana released her first album entitled Explore. She decided to make a song entitled Keep Being You as her first single, and it was agreed by the label. And her first single skyrocketed in Indonesian music market. After successful with her first single, Isyana released her second single entitled Tetap Dalam Jiwa, or in English means Still in Soul. The song was written in Indonesian language and quickly received by Indonesian music lovers. Listeners, here's the second song from Isyana Sarasvati entitled Tetap Dalam Jiwa.
Terbayang akan jadi seperti ini pada akhirnya. Semua waktu yang pernah kita lewati bersamanya tak hilang dan sirna. Hitam putih berlalu, janji kita menunggu, tapi kita tak mampu. 1001 cara kita lewati untuk dapatkan semua jawaban ini. Bila memang harus berpisah, aku akan tetap setia. Bila memang ini ujungnya, kau kan tetap ada di dalam jiwa. Tak bisa untuk teruskan dunia kita berbeda. Bila memang ini ujungnya, kau kan tetap ada. Kita berbeda. Bila
Listeners of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, that was a song entitled Tetap Dalam Jiwa, sung by Isyana Sarasvati. Isyana said that the song was inspired by her fans' true story. She also said that all songs which she has written come from her heart and there is no compulsion. Isyana, who is adept at playing instrument, released her third single entitled Kau Adalah or You Are, collaborated by Rai Putra from RUN. The arrangement concept of this song, which is groovy and also R&B, makes this song has different freshness in Indonesian music world. VOA listeners, to conclude Music Corner for today, let's listen to a song entitled Kau Adalah or You Are, sung by Isyana Sarasvati featuring Rai Putra. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Aku dan dirimu sudah jadi satu di dalam ikatan percaya. Asmaraku, ini asmaramu, tumbuh makin sempurna.
As I can miracle and it is more than just a physical attraction. Even though we're individuals, but we have this spiritual connection. A passion that is always you, the one and only. Baby, you can call me every time you feel you want me, and I'll be there for you. And I know you too, and I love you. So the world is falling apart.
Back now,
one more time.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, at en.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, at en.voi.co.id.
Kasih jangan.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id. Or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.